Today we're going to continue our walk through the book of Jude. So if you've got your Bibles with you, you can turn to the book of Jude. And today we're going to look at the first 16 verses of Jude. And Jude is so small that a lot of the, we will cover some ground that we've already covered as far as the text is concerned, but within this small book, the Lord has cram-packed it full of a lot of stuff. So we're going to be reading some texts that we've already read, but we're going to be focusing on the next lesson that the Lord has to teach us from it. So Jude, verses 1 through 16, Jude writes, Jude, a servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to those who are called, beloved in God the Father, and kept for Jesus Christ, may mercy, peace, and love be multiplied to you. Beloved, although I was very eager to write to you about our common salvation, I found it necessary to write, appealing to you to contend for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. For certain people have crept in unnoticed who long ago were designated for this condemnation, ungodly people who pervert the grace of our God into sensuality and deny our only Master and Lord, Jesus Christ. Now I want to remind you, although you once fully knew it, that Jesus, who saved a people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed those who did not believe. And the angels who did not stay within their own position of authority, but left their proper dwelling, he has kept in eternal chains under gloomy darkness until the judgment of the great day. Just as Sodom and Gomorrah and the surrounding cities, which likewise indulged in sexual immorality and pursued unnatural desire, serve as an example by undergoing a punishment of eternal fire. Yet in like manner, these people, also relying on their dreams, defile the flesh, reject authority, and blaspheme the glorious ones. But when the angel Michael, contending with the devil, was disputing about the body of Moses, he did not presume to pronounce a blasphemous judgment, but said, "The Lord rebuke you." But these people blaspheme all that they do not understand, and they are destroyed by all that they, like unreasoning animals, understand instinctively. Woe to them, for they walked in the way of Cain and abandoned themselves for the sake of gain to Balaam's error and perished in Korah's rebellion. These are hidden reefs at your love feasts, as they feast with you without fear, shepherds feeding themselves, waterless clouds swept along by winds, fruitless trees in late autumn, twice dead, uprooted, wild waves of the sea casting up the foam of their own shame, wandering stars for whom the gloom of utter darkness has been reserved forever. It was about these that Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied, saying, "Behold, the Lord comes with 10,000s of his holy ones to execute judgment on all and to convict all the ungodly of all their deeds of ungodliness that they have committed in such an ungodly way, and of all the harsh things that ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These are grumblers, malcontents, following their own sinful desires. They are loudmouth boasters, showing favoritism to gain advantage." Let's pray, church. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I am a servant, and Lord, you are the master. You have given us this word that we may better understand you, we may better understand your will for us, and that we may better glorify you. So Lord, may I speak this word faithfully. Lord, may you speak through me to your people and sanctify us all the more. May you speak this word faithfully to any here who doesn't know you as King yet. May they be saved even this very night. Lord, may this message go undeterred, uncorrupted by my mouth, but may it be spoken faithfully. It's in your name we pray. Amen. The month of June has, over the last 25 years, become a month in which our culture, or the culture of our nation, not only acknowledges, but celebrates what the Lord condemns with Scripture. June is the month of pride, they tell us. Rainbow flags adorn flagpoles and doors all across our nations. Parades that display debauchery in full view of all ages and public make their way up main streets in many towns and cities. This is what this month has become. We know that pride has come to Corden even, as some of our own members here at Corden Baptist have been trying to contend against this cultural shift in our own town. The cultural degradation that has taken place over these years cannot come at us as a surprise, though. The Bible clearly tells us that people that do not know Christ as King will live lives ruled by sin, and the cultures that those sinners create will reflect that sin. No, we cannot be surprised. We can be heartbroken. We can be grieved, but not surprised. However, a more heartbreaking truth that we must see and that is that this same sin has come into the church. Sinners who embrace the LGBTQ pride have crept in unnoticed and uncontended for years, and they now preach a gospel from pulpits all across the land that is contrary to the true gospel of Jesus Christ. Whole Christian denominations have fallen to the pride movement because wolves have snuck in and devoured flocks, confusing Christians with false doctrines that teach as Christians we must accept, embrace, and celebrate the sexual diversity of every person because, after all, we are all God's children, they say. A lie often preached from these pulpits is love, and God loves the sinner, so why can't you? But their version of love is one that will condone and celebrate the sin of the sinner without preaching repentance. The sin of the pride movement has decimated the culture of our nation, yes, and it has done so openly. However, the damage that pride has done to the Christian church is so heartbreaking because it reflects so poorly the true holiness of our God. And this should grieve us towards repentance, and it should embolden us to do as Jude says, contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. Contend against false teachers that have twisted and corrupted the truth of the gospel to allow for the sinful lifestyles of the unrepentant sinners that have crept into the church of Jesus Christ. This is Jude's charge for us. This is why Jude has written this book, Contend for the Faith. As those saved by Christ, the word of truth himself, we are a people that must fight for that truth, especially within the body. We must, with loud voices, chase away the wolves. This command is explicit. It is clear. Contend for the faith. Yes, the command is clear. But so often, the fight can seem overwhelming. It can seem as if we are the only church that will stand against the tide of false doctrine. It can seem as if our voices are drowned out by the howls of countless wolves. The opponent that we are called to contend with can seem so intimidating, imposing. Yes, the command is clear, but the fight seems everlasting. As Christians who contend for the true faith, the words of the prophet Habakkuk can sound so familiar. O Lord, how long shall I cry for help and you will not hear, or cry to you violence and you will not save? Why do you make me see iniquity, and why do you so idly look at wrong? Destruction and violence are before me, strife and contention arise, so the law is paralyzed and justice never goes forth. For the wicked surround the righteous, so justice goes forth unperverted. Habakkuk 1, 2 through 4. How long must we contend for the faith until the false teachers are rooted out? How long must we fight against the wolves before the flock is safe? The fight can seem overwhelming. The The fight can seem everlasting, and Jude knew this. And that is why, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, Jude has provided us with a deeply encouraging word. We can be sure that all sin will be judged on the great day of the Lord. This is our main point for the sermon today. We can be sure that all sin will be judged on the great day of the Lord. This encouragement is a thread that runs through this portion of Jude's letter. And for the remainder of our time this evening, we will work through our text to see that this encouragement from Jude is indeed a promise from God. We can be sure that all sin will be judged on the great day of the Lord. That is what Jude is telling us in our text this evening as he begins his argument by first bringing us historical examples of times that God has already dealt with sin by executing judgment. God always judges sin. Jude writes in verses 5 through 7, "Now I want to remind you, although you once fully knew it, that Jesus, who saved a people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed those who did not believe. And the angels who did not stay within their own position of authority but left their proper dwelling, he has kept in eternal chains under gloomy darkness until the judgment of the great day. Just as Sodom and Gomorrah and the surrounding cities, which likewise indulged in sexual immorality and pursued unnatural desires, serve as an example undergoing a punishment of eternal fire." Three examples. God knows that we can easily hold three in our mind. Threes click well, and so he gave Jude three examples to record for us. The first historical example of God's judgment of sin that Jude provides is in verse 5. "Now I want to remind you, although you once fully knew it, that Jesus, who saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed those who did not believe." And using the name Jesus, Jude is simply attributing the Old Testament work of God to the Son. Because God, the Son, is God, and he was doing the work of leading the Israelites out of slavery in the land of Egypt. The Bible then tells us that it was not long after they left Egypt that the Israelites lost trust in God. If you remember the text, Israel had traveled across the wilderness. They had seen God do the incredible work of sending the plagues to Egypt, of overpowering the great power of the world, Egypt, of parting the Red Sea and leading them through it. They have seen God's miracles firsthand. And now they are on the cusp of entering the promised land. When they sent spies in, those spies came back with mixed reports. The majority said that they would not recommend going into the promised land because the people that they would have to contend against, well, they were giants. They were intimidating. The minority, they knew that the people of the land may have been big, but God was bigger. Israel chose to side with the majority. They broke faith with God, and so God, in executing judgment, did not allow the nation of Israel to enter the promised land until the entire unbelieving generation had died in the wilderness. Sin is always punished. Jude then mentions those angels who, driven by pride, left their God-assigned posts to pursue their own desires, thus earning for themselves God's judgment. Instead of positions of service to God, these angels now reside in deep, gloomy darkness, chained up until the day, that final judgment comes. And finally, Jude's third Old Testament reference is arguably the most infamous passage depicting God's judgment. Using fire from heaven, God utterly destroyed the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah for their blatant and unrepentant commission of the very sins that we focused on in the introduction to this sermon. The same sexual sins that our own culture has embraced. Oh, may the story of Sodom and Gomorrah serve as a warning to our own nation. The message of the Bible is clear. The message of Jude is clear. The cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, Jude tells us, serve as an example. They suffered under a punishment of eternal fire. I tell you this evening, all sin will be judged. All sin will be punished by eternal fire. There's coming a day when Christ will finally say no more to the sinful rebellion of his human creation. Those people who have crept into the church and, as Jude tells us in verse 8, rely on their dreams as a source of revelation instead of the true revelation of God, the Bible. Those people who defile the flesh in so many sinful and ugly ways. Those people who reject God-ordained authority within the church. Those people who blaspheme the glorious one. They will, on that day of the Lord, stand charged with crimes against the holy God. And they will finally face the judgment coming to them. In our text, Jude describes these sinful false teachers that have crept into the church with no soft language. In verse 10, Jude tells us that these teachers blaspheme what they do not understand, the good and holy God and his grace upon sinners, while they are actively being destroyed by what they do understand, the base, unreasoned desires of the flesh. These false teachers are no more than unthinking animals who live for no other purpose but to satisfy every fleshly desire. This is certainly a condemnation at those who have crept into the church and seek to drag her down with them. In verse 11, Jude goes on to pronounce a threefold woe. Again, threes. God knows they work for us. A threefold woe onto these teachers by comparing them to people from biblical history that are notorious for their sinful rebellion against God. These teachers are compared to Cain, that first murderer of Scripture. Balaam and Korah, all unrepentant sinners that aptly received the judgment they deserved. These false teachers are hidden reefs, Jude says, poised underwater to sink the ships that are God's church. They are shepherds or pastors that care more to feed their own bellies than to care for the flock of Christ. Jude says they are clouds that are often a sign of the coming nourishing rain. But these, they are waterless clouds. They are useless for the kingdom. They are fruitless trees, twice dead and uprooted. They do nothing good for the kingdom of God. Jude is not easy on those false teachers, and they have crept into the church because he understands that if these false teachers are allowed to continue to do their work, then they will dismantle and destroy the body of Christ. Church, this is who we are to contend against. And we must be emboldened in our fight by the truth that all sin will be punished on the great day of the Lord. Jude is certain of this. We must be certain of this. And to bolster our confidence in the truth of that coming judgment, Jude reiterates it with a prophecy that's found within a non-canonical book, the book of Enoch. This is what is quoted in verse 14. Jude first makes his argument that all sin will be punished by providing proof texts that tell us God always punishes sin. And then he supports that truth with an extra-biblical Jewish traditional text, the book of Enoch. Verse 14 says, "It was about these that Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied, saying, 'Behold, the Lord comes with 10,000s of his holy ones to execute judgment on all and to convict all the ungodly of all their deeds of ungodliness that they have committed in such an ungodly way, and of all the harsh things that ungodly sinners have spoken against him. Those that have crept in, bringing ungodly, ugly, sinful, false gospels with them, trying to change God's church, upon them, God promises that he will execute judgment. This is the truth of the gospel. This is the truth of the Bible. I would be neglectful of my duty this evening to preach the gospel if I did not hold out to you the bigger implications of this truth. All sin will be judged on this day, on the day of the Lord. The bigger implications, all sin. Not just the sin of those who have crept into the church. All sin will be judged on the coming day of the Lord. You see, all sin, every sin is against the holy God. And as such, all sin will receive its just punishment. The broader judgment that will be carried out is, as Jude says, the eternal fire. On that great day of the Lord, when Jesus Christ says, "It's time," every unrepentant sinner that has not surrendered their lives to Jesus Christ as King will finally and rightly receive the judgment of living a living death for all of eternity in the lake of fire called hell. This is where the sinner will suffer under the infinite wrath of the holy God. All sin will be punished. Have you repented of your sin? Because if that day of the Lord arrives, when it comes and Christ calls you to judgment, this is what awaits your very soul. This is horrifying news. But there is the good news. All sin will be judged. The broad road leads to hell. This is where the vast majority of human sinners will be found. But the narrow road, the road that fewer will find themselves on, leads not to hell, but to eternity in God's love, eternity with Christ, praising Christ and worshiping him as King in a place where there is no pain, there is no heartache. The sins of those who are saved from hell, they have already been judged. God's justice remains intact with the gospel. The sins of the saints have already been placed onto the shoulders of the Savior, Jesus Christ. We can understand that all sin is judged because Christ has already been killed, crucified brutally for the forgiveness of the sins of his children. And those children that repent of their sins, turn from serving the flesh and to serving Christ, they are made righteous, sinful no more, good in the eyes of God. All sin will be punished on the day of judgment, but the sins of God's people have already been punished upon the back of Christ himself. This is the gospel. If you sit here today and your heart fears the promised coming day of the Lord at which all sin will be judged, if you are here and you have not surrendered your life to Christ and you have not laid your sins down on his shoulders, I hold salvation out to you this very hour. Do not wait one more day to repent, because we have no idea when this promised day of the Lord will come. We have no idea when the Lord will return and end all rebellion against him. I say to you, be saved today. Church, Christians, why is the truth of the coming day of the Lord truth that should excite us? Because that is when the fight will be over. We will no longer have to contend for the true faith once delivered to the saints, because the faith will be made sight. Christ's perfect rule and reign over all of creation will be seen. On that day, the wolves will be chased from the flock. On that day, the roots of false doctrine will be dug out. The cancer of sin will be expelled from the bride of Christ. What a great day that will be. How then shall we live today? The way that the text of Jude breaks down, I will talk next week about what our day-to-day life as the church redeemed by Christ must look like. But today, I want to leave you with two broad strokes to take home with you. And next week, these broad strokes will become more detailed as we progress through Jude. But those two broad strokes for today, how must we live in light of the coming day of the Lord when all sin will finally be judged? First, we sang the words a few moments ago. We must rescue the perishing. The truth that all sin will be judged is beautiful truth indeed. When we consider the holiness of our God, He deserves a holy bride. He demands a holy church. And when sin is burned out of the body, our holy God is glorified. What a beautiful truth. But that beautiful truth also means, it must mean, that sinners are judged. And those sinners that have crept into the church and are working to corrupt her by spreading false doctrine, they will be rooted out and thrown into flames. Outside of the church, in the world around us, those sinners who are still unrepentant at the end of their life or unrepentant when Christ does return, they are also gathered and thrown into the lake of fire. This is an easy concept to understand. Sinners will be judged. And if our hearts are aligned with the heart of God, this is an even easier concept to accept. Sinners should be punished. Yes and amen. Scripture says it. But God has not created us to be unloving, has He? No, He has not created us to be unloving because He Himself is not unloving. And it was out of love that God provided the way of salvation from sin through Christ alone. And it is out of love that we must understand that this generic sinner is not generic at all. But it's the family member that doesn't yet know Christ. Or it's the co-worker that lives in unrepentant sin. Or it's the tribal leader in Kenya that doesn't understand the gospel. Or it's the Hindu shopkeeper that still worships the false deities. Or it's the kind neighbor who comes to church yet lives in unrepentant sin at home. You know these people. There are faces in your head this very moment. The generic sinner is not generic at all. The perishing that will be punished at the judgment of the Lord, they are people, they are image bearers, and they must hear the gospel. Pastor Keith preached this morning that we as Christians certainly have good news to tell. We have the best news to tell. Salvation is free because Jesus Christ has already died for our sins. As the day of the Lord draws near, we, the church, must proclaim the gospel to all those who right now are on that broad path that lead to eternal judgment. In the light of the day of the Lord, let us proclaim that sin can be forgiven because Christ has already taken our judgment on Himself. This certainly would be the most beautiful way to win the fight against the false teachers inside the church. Proclaim the true gospel to them and see them repent of their false gospels. Proclaim the gospel knowing that all sinners will be judged. And the second encouragement that I want to leave with you is this. The day of the Lord in which all sin will be judged is drawing near. Contender, the battle is almost over. May we rest in that truth. Yes, certainly, every day contend for the faith once delivered to the saints. That is our duty inside the church. Fight for the pure faith in Christ alone. And when you become weary, because you've been contending so hard for so long. Rest in the truth that the fight will end and God will be glorified in the end. Because he will finally and ultimately purify his bride. The victory is promised, and Christ tells no lie. Contend for the faith, Christian, and know that the fight is almost over and God wins. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, may the words of Jude ring in our hearts as we leave here today. May we be emboldened to fight for the true gospel. May we be encouraged by the truth that you will one day win victorious over all sin. Lord, we know you are already victorious over all sin. You just wait for the day when your reign will be evident. Lord, may we fervently pursue the lost. May we proclaim judgment is coming. And may we not let a day go by where the gospel does not leave our mouths. May a day not go by where we do not speak truth to the dying. Find us faithful, Lord. It's in your name we pray. Amen.